Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I'm glad that you tuned into the program today. My name is Brent Russett. I've been a pastor in the Ottawa area for 28 years. And one of the things I love to do is to show how God's Word that was written for a long time ago connects with our world right now. Yeah, I know that some of you who are listening have been followers of Jesus for a long time. And I know of others of you think of yourselves as spiritual, but you're not really sure what to do with this Christian thing. And I know others of you are just curious of how people of faith think. I trust wherever you are on your spiritual journey that you'll find this program interesting and informative. And I believe for those of you who desire it, God can use a program like this to take you another step closer to Him. Now, this program is kept on the air by many faithful donors. I want to thank this morning's program sponsor, Bruce Newman. Bruce would like to give a shout-out to Jericho Road Christian Ministries as a local registered charity for their outstanding service to the community. Jericho Road is a great ministry in our area and the works to see people's lives change. Thanks, Bruce, and thank you, Jericho Road. This morning, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, Christians believe in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe that they are three yet one, and I'm not going to go into that mystery today. But if you are a Christian and you want to understand your faith, you need to know who the God you believe in is. If you're not a Christian but are interested in understanding the Christian faith, then you need the same. So let me take you to Acts chapter 2. Now, this story falls about 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, just the week before, had ascended into heaven. And now we pick up the story in Acts chapter 2, and this is what it says. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. We're talking about the disciples and a number of others. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Well, you may remember the rest of the story. Peter stands up and preaches to the crowd of 3,000 people, a great crowd, and 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus. Well, Pentecost marks the birth of the church. Pentecost marks a change in how God would deal with His people. For the most part, in the Old Testament, God was with His people, but not in His people. Now there were a number of people in the Old Testament, usually kings and prophets, where the Bible records that they were filled with the Spirit. But for the most part, God was just with His people. Now, after Pentecost, God, by His Holy Spirit, was in His people. All of them were filled with the Spirit. This is the definition of being a Christian, by the way. the way, a Christ follower, a believer. A true Christian is one in whom Jesus lives by his Spirit. You will sometimes hear Christians talk about Jesus coming into their life. That is what they mean by that. If you are a Christian, Christ lives in you by his Spirit. If the Spirit of God is not in you, then you don't belong to Christ. The way the Spirit of God comes into your life is by faith. When you pray a prayer like, Jesus, I give my life to you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. If you pray a prayer like that and believe that God will do what he said he would do and what you're asking for, the Spirit of God does come into your life. But just because the Spirit is in our life does not mean that we know him all that well. See, the Holy Spirit is the least known member of the Trinity. We get God the Father, right? All-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, full of love. We get God the Son, Jesus. We see how he demonstrated who God is. We see his love and sacrifice on the cross. But we really don't get the Holy Spirit. He's the third member of the Trinity. But after that, it seems to get a little confusing. So this morning, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to do that for a number of reasons. I want you to know that I want you to know this wonderful third person of the Trinity. But more than that, he is really important in your Christian walk. In fact, he is the member of the Trinity that you are in touch with most regularly, but you are probably unaware of it. It is the Spirit of God who applies Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross, to your life. He is the one who puts the life of Christ in you. He is the one who transforms you into the image of Christ. He is the one who empowers you to live a new life. He is the one who speaks to you both through the Word of God and in your spirit. And although he is the one we are most in touch with, he is the one we know the least. Now, whenever we talk about God, we need to use metaphors because God is totally other than what he has created. God is so far beyond our imagination that we use comparisons to what we know to help understand what we don't know. And so when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, it uses metaphors that gives us insight into what the Spirit does, but it can sometimes confuse us as to who the Spirit is. So in the passage we read, the believers were all filled with the Spirit. Well, it's a metaphor. It sounds like he is a liquid filling up a cup. You know, we hear the Spirit about moving about in power, and it sort of conjures up visions of the Force and Star Wars. We hear the Spirit descending as fire. In the passage that we read, he is described as tongues of fire that came to rest on everyone in the room. With these kind of metaphors, you kind of get the idea that the Holy Spirit is a powerful, untamed, wild force in our life. But the first thing you need to know about the Spirit of God, despite all those metaphors, is that he is a person, just like the other members of the Godhead are persons. Persons not in the sense that they are human, but they think, they have unique personalities, they relate and are relatable. Come with me to John chapter 15, verse 26. This is what it says. When the Advocate comes, that's another name for the Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Notice the personal pronouns. John chapter 16, verse 8. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. About judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Notice all the way through, Jesus uses personal pronouns, he. The Spirit is not a force like Star Wars. The Spirit is not an impersonal power. We don't refer to the Spirit as an it. We use personal pronouns because, in fact, he is a person. He is relatable. You can speak to him. He has a personality. And notice what he does. He acts as a go-between the Father and us. The scripture we just read says he will go out from the Father and testify about Jesus. He is going to talk to the world about sin and righteousness and judgment. He'll guide you into all truth. He will come tell you what is to come. He will glorify Jesus. He will tell us what Jesus told him. The Spirit is not just some supernatural force. He's a person taking on the role of bringing people to Christ, of glorifying Christ, of delivering the words of Christ to us. You know, one of the reasons we don't know the Spirit as well as we might is he's constantly saying, look at Jesus, come to Jesus, hear the words of Jesus. He doesn't focus on himself, but he points us towards Jesus. So he's a little tricky to get to know because he's like a person that doesn't really want to talk about themselves. They always want to talk about the person they love. But in spite of that, the Spirit is in spite of the fact that the Spirit is always pointing us towards Jesus, we can still have a relationship with him. In fact, if you are a follower of Jesus, if Christ is in you, you do have a relationship with the Spirit. That relationship can either be healthy or unhealthy. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. But the Newsboys try to describe what the Spirit does in their song, Spirit Thing. The Apostle Paul, in giving instructions to the church, said, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. But you can grieve the Spirit. He leads us into all truth, but we reject it. He works in our lives, and we reject his work. Like a friend who sees another friend going in a way that's self-destructive and there's nothing that she can do to stop it. So the Spirit is grieved when we choose death rather than life. He is grieved when he leads one way and we go a different way. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica and says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is gentle. He doesn't force himself on us. He is at work in you, but you can stop his work. He is calling you to be like Jesus, but you can stop his work in your life. He will lead you, and you can refuse to follow. He will convict you, but you can ignore his conviction. But whatever we say, whenever we say no to the Spirit, we quench his work, the work that he wants to do inside of us. And that, my friends, is a tragic loss, because the Spirit of God wants the very best for you. When he is allowed to work in your life, not only does he apply the work of Christ to your life in salvation, not only is he a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance in heaven, but he is causing change in you. He is moving you into the image of Christ. He is making you like Jesus in your character. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." As you put your hand in his, the Spirit of God is at work in your life, producing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. It's not like you have to work to make those things happen. That is just what happens when the Spirit of God rubs off on you. You see, that is who he is. The Spirit is the Spirit of love. He is the Spirit of joy. He is the Spirit of peace. He demonstrates patience and kindness and goodness to us as he relates to us. He is incredibly faithful, and he is gentle, and he helps us to live in the way we are called. So in verse 25, Paul says, "Since we live by the Spirit, well, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since he is producing these things in our lives, let us keep in step with him." There are so many other things I could tell you about the Spirit. When the Spirit comes inside you, he gives you spiritual gifts for the building up of the believers around you. As you use those spiritual gifts, you will see God glorified in your life. And some of you have different spiritual gifts of health, of mercy, of preaching, of teaching, of leading, and of telling other people about Jesus. There are a whole lot of different spiritual gifts, and the Spirit empowers us, and he uses those spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ around us. I could tell you about the power of the Spirit. Paul, writing to the Christian church, talked about all the kinds of sinners and swindlers and sexually immoral and the greedy and the idolaters. And then he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, "And that's what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." God transforms people by his Spirit. He's done it in many of your lives. You were once far from God, but you were washed, you were made holy, you were forgiven in the name of Jesus and by the work of the Holy Spirit. I know that God has transformed many of your lives. That is the work of the Spirit. He is in the work of drawing us to Christ, of making us like Christ, of empowering us by Christ. There are so many things of which we could focus on, but I want to spend the rest of my time being very practical about cooperating with the work of the Spirit in your life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says this, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." See, the gospel is about life. Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. And here's what you need to know. If you want true, great, abundant life, life comes by the Spirit. We are brought from death to life by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, the life of Jesus is in us and happens by the Spirit. You will experience the fullness of the life of God that is intended for you because the Spirit of God is at work in your life. We live by the Spirit. So in verse 25, Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Question is, how? How do you keep in step with the Spirit? Well, I'm a naturally slow walker. I am a tall person with short legs, and when I am walking with people, I'm aware of how fast they are walking and how slow I am going, and I need to make the extra effort to walk faster to keep for them, to keep up with them. If I am going to keep in step with them, then I need to be aware of them. It is the same with the Spirit. If you're going to keep in step with the Spirit, then you're going to have to be aware of the Spirit. So the general question to you is, what is the Spirit of God up to right now in your life? You know, we read a little earlier from John chapter 16, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So what is the Spirit of God teaching you right now? What truth has he led you into in this last little while? If you're going to keep in step with the Spirit, you're going to have to be aware of what the Spirit of God is up to. Romans chapter 8 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God." How has God been leading you lately? How has he been teaching you? How has he been leading you? Has he been guiding you to do something or not to do something? As you look out over the last two weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, have you seen how he's led? Even though you may not have been aware of it at the time, often it's only in retrospect that we can see what God's up to, but can you see how he was leading you? If you're going to keep in step with the Spirit, you're going to have to be aware of what the Spirit is up to. That's the first step of keeping in spirit, becoming aware of the Spirit's work in your life. What is he up to in your life? What truth is he bringing to you? How is he leading you? A little earlier, we looked at the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at how the fruit is produced when you put your hand in his. But the reality is that there are many times when we want to pull away from him because the fruit of the Spirit becomes difficult and we want to pull away from him. And so just a little earlier in the passage in Galatians chapter 5, Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with one another. And so you are not to do whatever you want." If you're going to keep in step with the Spirit, then it's important that you keep your hand in his and not give in to all the stuff that your old nature wants. I like how the New Living Translation paraphrases it. It says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your old sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. And sometimes you will feel the battle keenly. Temptation will be real, and temptation will be big. But I want you to know this. You don't have to give in to it. But I know that you'll feel the cravings. If you're going to keep in step with the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is going to rub off on you in such a way where you see his fruit of love and joy and peace in your life, then you need to keep your hand in his, keep in step with him, choose to do what he desires rather than what your old nature wants to. Romans 8 puts it this way, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. Those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." See, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So set your mind on what God wants. Not on your selfish old nature, what your selfish old nature wants. Where you set your mind's eye will determine where your spiritual feet go. If you want life and peace, let the Spirit govern your mind. See, he is the Spirit of love. He is the Spirit of joy. He is the Spirit of peace. He demonstrates patience and kindness and goodness to us. He is incredibly faithful and gentle, and he helps us to live the way we're called to live. He wants who he is to become part of who you are. The question is will you keep in step with him? See, we read about Pentecost off the top where the disciples were in the upper room and they were filled with the Spirit. But that's not just an event in history. God wants that to be a reality in your life. The third person of the Trinity comes to us and fills us with himself. In doing so, he applies the work of the cross to our lives. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. See, that is what he does. I've seen so many people who have come to him, and their lives have been broken, their lives have been hurt, their lives have been all messed up, some addicted, some just have had trauma happen to them. And the Spirit of God works with them. They say, "Lord, come into my life." And he does. And he takes us right where we are. But he doesn't want to leave us where we are. He takes us right where we are with our flaws and our perfections. You don't have to become good. You don't have to wash up. You don't have to somehow clean yourself up to come to God. He takes you right where you are. But when you receive him into your life, what happens is that he takes you and he says, yeah, I'll forgive your sin. I'll wash you and I'll make you new. And more than that, I want to make you into the person that you were created to be. And some come from really broken places, and yet God starts rebuilding one step at a time. And as they walk in step with the Spirit, it's amazing what happens. First of all, they deal with the little pieces. And then they'll see God work in their emotional health and in their spiritual health. They'll see him work in their relational health. They'll see him at work in so many different ways, because that is what the Spirit of God does. He takes us where we are and he leads us towards Jesus. He makes us like Jesus. He gives us his love and his joy and his peace. He calls us in patience, and he shows us faithfulness, and it allows us to be persevering in the middle of trouble. The Holy Spirit doesn't solve all your problems, but he's with you in the middle of all your problems. So as you walk step by step with him, you'll see that he can lead you and guide you into all truth and make you into what you need to be. The Spirit of God, if you are a Christian, is at work in your life. I want to urge you to put your hands in his, because he is the one who fills you with real life, abundant life. He is the one who transforms you and makes you into all that you were meant to be. He is the one who fills you with love and joy and peace. He is the one who helps you live out of patience and kindness and goodness. You will become like him as you put your hand in his. Talk to him. Focus on what he's doing in your life. If you've grieved him, apologize to him. If you've quenched his work, say you're sorry. Welcome him anew. He wants life to you. So I say this to you. Since we live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning and for a chance to remember who you are and who your Spirit is. Spirit of the living God, we would invite you to do you the work that you want to do in our lives. For people who are far away, I pray that they would come close. For people who are walking with you, I pray that you would give them life and life to the full. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Good News in the Morning. And thanks again to Bruce Newman, and your salute to Jericho Road Christian Ministries. And thanks, Bruce, for sponsoring today's program. This program is on the air by God's grace and the donations of many faithful people. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been a privilege to bring you Good News in the Morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.